Did you know the Texarkana Gazette has a newsletter for every interest? Sign up at texarkanagazette.com/newsletters to get the news you care about most delivered straight to your email box. You can find out what's happening this weekend, read the week's best feature stories, or catch up on sports scores. Try The Upside, our roundup of good news sure to put a positive spin on your week. There's even an on-the-line newsletter, so you can be sure to never miss the latest episode. And more. Visit texarkanagazette.com/newsletters to customize how you get news today. That's texarkanagazette.com/newsletters. Hello and welcome to On the Line. I'm Carl Richter. LaMoya Burks is the head librarian at Texarkana College's Palmer Memorial Library. Last week, she was appointed interim executive director of the Young Adult Library Services Association, a division of the American Library Association. The organization's mission is to empower library staff to serve teens and support them, especially those with the greatest needs, on the path to successful and fulfilling lives. In this week's interview, LaMoya and I talked about her career success, what's different about serving younger library patrons, recent attempts to remove books from library shelves, and more. Here's my conversation with LaMoya Burks. Welcome to the studio, LaMoya.
Thank you.
You had some great news this past week that I wanted to ask you about. And so just tell us about it. What is the Young Adult Library Services Association? And what's your new job there?
Hashtag YALSA.
YALSA, yeah.
Yeah. So the Young Adult Library Division is, of course, a part of the big headquarters there at American Library Association, which mm-hmm. is actually located in Chicago, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Now, that work is correlated with work that is in Washington, D.C., as we know, with Library of Congress, as it spirals across the nation and even international with libraries and information centers.
Right.
And I want to make sure that I give special attention to library extension being information centers, because right. as we know, libraries are also digital. Mm-hmm. And so the work that I've been called to do is to be the interim executive director. So the support is internal and external. Mm-hmm. That work is alongside and in support of library professionals, PAR professionals, mm-hmm. which means those that are not necessarily degreed,
right,
but are also welcome and appreciated and valued in the profession. You know, and of course, those of us that have the degrees, the years of experience, the expertise, and the policy and advocacy pieces.
Okay. So tell me about the focus on young people, on young library users. What's different about providing services to them?
So as we know, whether it be school, public, governmental, there are several sector pieces to libraries and information centers. Information literacy, of course, in itself is not just reading the book. You right. have financial literacy, health literacy, and beyond, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at youth, and it's the trend is a little different, but kids are the same but different. We have those everyday conversations, right?
Right.
We say they do what we didn't do, or did they, right?
Right.
So when we look at what they're interested in, why they're interested in it, or why they're not, mm-hmm. The marketing strategies, what are we advocating for as far as their voice, continuing to educate them and to make sure that they thrive, not just exist. So we know that some of the challenges in the classroom Some of the traditional approaches, just as curriculum changes, right?
Right.
Where they hang out changes. You know, when I was coming up, it was 9 to 12 at Skate America. Yeah. $3.50. I'm telling my age here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that shifting paradigm changes. I just learned the other day it's the bowling alley, right?
Oh.
As it is with literacy, you know, so you have the print base, right? Mm-hmm. Then you have your Kindle.
Right.
But we're also seeing more than that. So when you're looking at, it's written 13 to 18. I would go back farther than that and say 9 to 10 to about 18,
yeah.
Especially in boys.
Uh-huh.
The way the print looks, you know, or the characters are drawn, uh-huh. or the length of the book is a particular subset that we need to pay attention to. Because they're either drawn to it or they're not.
Right.
And so there's a little bit of a challenge in where we're going with that.
Mm-hmm.
So like your Japanese montage.
Right.
Or your, well, you know, people would say they're comic books.
Right.
You know,
right. Manga.
Yeah. Manga or yeah. your, you know, Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Just how do we continue to make it appealing to them? Because mm-hmm. the world is highly marketing visual.
Yeah.
And we're a microwave society. So a lot of times we want things quick. We yeah. want it now. So
ever decreasing attention span.
Yes.
So, not just kids. Me too.
Right. So it's get to the point. What's the summary? What's the plot? Right. Mm-hmm. But we have to be sure to make them real. Why should I care about what's going on in this book? Well, because they have to be able to find themselves.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of the advocacy part. The work part, of course, is continuing to employ.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking economic development. So yeah. if we're going to talk about it in the business infrastructure and the medical, that's still information literacy.
Right.
So that is a piece of it as well. Paraprofessionals, volunteers, those with the MLIS or the MIS, or even lawyers that have decided to be law librarians.
Right.
We have to keep everybody employed, and we should.
Yeah.
And so the skill demand to be able to do that is literacy.
Yeah. In various forms, like you were
various
saying.
Various forms.
We're not just talking about books.
Right.
People always think about the big stacks full of books, mm-hmm. but as you're saying, technology has changed everything. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Like what sort of things do you wish people knew a modern library has to offer?
Well, there's a slogan that's often used. It's like, we're not your grandma's librarian.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we laugh about that, but there's value in that because you have to know, we have to know and understand where we came from, where we are and where we're going.
Right.
And that's in all things. And so the background to everything is literacy.
Mm-hmm.
That is how we are connected to each other. That's how we understand each other. And so when you even look at diverse languages, so the work that's being done, even through technology,
mm-hmm.
some of those same tools that we use on our cell phones or to find in directions, they're the same.
Yeah.
So it's a universal language and way of life that connects us as people. So whether it's an arrow to go to the next page, indexing.
Right.
Indexing is not an obsolete, gone away term.
I remember when that was a whole profession.
Yeah.
Where people would just index books.
Mm-hmm. Now, you do know, Carl, I have to tell you, there is a such thing as a wine librarian.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because, see, anything that has to be archived, indexed.
Right.
Right. We're taking it and we're compartmentalizing.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those words are the same.
Yeah.
Or put those things that are alike together.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we may change how and when we use the term.
Right.
But the skill and the tool base is the same.
Yeah. Whatever kind of archive you're talking
right.
about.
Disney has one.
Yeah.
So my dream, my kids' dream, I have two boys, their dream is, ooh, let's go to Disney. And I'm like, yeah, because we're going to go to the library. So even when you look back at Mickey Mouse and how he yeah. changed over time.
Right.
It's stored there.
Yeah.
Medical libraries. There's only 5 in the state of Texas research libraries.
Mm-hmm.
Lubbock, University of Houston, of course, has MD Anderson. So they have MD Anderson Library.
Yeah.
The specialty and expertise there supports the Cancer Treatment Center and the students. I remember in undergrad, in grad school, mm-hmm. We call it library school, to get the master's.
Right.
We had a third year law student that decided, hey, I don't know that the way that it's going, if I'm going to be able to do private practice.
Right.
So he decided I'm going to go to library school, and I'll have the master's in library science to pair with my law degree. I'm going to go be a law librarian.
Wow. I wish I'd done that.
And there's fun. There's art librarians, you know, there's school librarians. There's tons. There's even some that are, they're tucked away, mm-hmm. is what I like to say. So Apple has them.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have titles that are like digital curator or assistive technology, mm-hmm. or something. Dell, and, you know, we can name tons of technology companies. The higher up of Cooper Tire.
Yeah.
So anything that has to be maintained.
Right.
And where innovation lies, you have to know what you had, right?
Mm-hmm.
There lies librarians.
So how'd you get into the profession? What led you to this point?
So my story is I didn't know. My bachelor's is in political science and Spanish.
Hmm.
But my story first started here at Texarkana Public Library. My father, whenever he had gas, because we didn't have it a lot,
right.
Would come down, and there was a frequent book that we loved to hear him, and hear me when I say hear him, though it had a cassette tape with it, read to us. It was called The People Who Could Fly by Virginia Hamilton. And we would, there's five of us, and we would pretty much just crawl across him on the couch and listen to him hear it over and over again. So I always had a love for reading. Your accelerator reader, I would be your top reader. I would get in trouble for needing to go to the bathroom, but I wasn't until I finished the last chapter.
Right.
Though that's why I got in trouble. Standing at the mailbox waiting on the weekly readers or the I Can Read books.
This all sounds very familiar.
Yes, I'm telling my age. and then, you know, at the school, the librarians, Miss Harrington, still, she retired Pleasant Grove, several others. And so fast forwarding, I went to undergrad. I said I wanted to be a lawyer, international one at that.
Yeah.
And then, my last semester of undergrad, coming home, driving the long stretch to Arkadelphia, I said, you know, it's too black and white. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I need something with a little art, a little color to it. So I did go back and got the first master's in curriculum and instruction right here at A&M Texarkana, but I wanted a little more.
Yeah.
So I was at a library conference. TC asked me to go to library services. I adjunct taught, and I'd been director of testing. Still a little too, you know, this is what is, and this is, you know, a little more structured. And there was Dr. Yvonne Chandler, who is a law librarian. We called her Mama C, graduate of Clark Atlanta University. She spearheaded tons of money for island people that live out on islands that storms come and just wash their islands away.
Right.
She taught them how to curate.
Mm.
And she gave me her card, and I just said, oh, okay. Little did I know, fast forward, I would be in library school.
Right.
And I, at TC, I just took it on. We're just not going to check out books here. So I've been anywhere from the book fairy at the local schools.
Right.
Literally with book pages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Book pages and clothes hanger and some glue.
Right.
To being welcome to the library commission here with the public library, which work is ongoing, to doing audits for school bonds here in town, to going in and just reading a story with my face painted like the characters. So when I say, where did I begin? I don't know that I ever did.
Right.
It was just something that stuck with me.
Seems like a natural progression.
Yeah.
So tell us about the TC Library. Remind me what it's called.
The Palmer Memorial.
Palmer Memorial. Named after the founder of this newspaper, correct? Is that right? Is it Clyde C. Palmer?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So what sort of services do you have there besides just the typical things people think of?
So academic libraries, you know, that's different from your public libraries in your school.
Yeah.
Though we're all a family.
Yeah.
Gotta keep us connected. Academic libraries, of course, first serve their students and faculty and staff. We serve faculty and staff in supporting to make sure that they have the curriculum and the information to serve the student.
Yeah.
For the student directly, of course, we have the books. We have the digital access to the books. We have what we call Flipster, which is a magazine digital.
Oh, right.
Okay, yeah. And you literally take your finger and flip the page. Mm-hmm. and there's a variety there. But libraries have also transformed into something bigger. So as a college student, they want to make sure that, especially if it's something that they've never encountered, to make sure that all things connect for retention, right? Yeah. Because we're supporting workforce. So we have what we've named the Academic Commons. Mm. And it's called that because it's the supportive hub. So you have the library, the testing center, mm-hmm. and then you have the tutoring lab, which is the U.S. Department of Education TRIO.
Okay.
So, you know, if a student comes in, they need the space to do what they need to do, which is homework is the old word we used to call, right? I call it action planning. if I decide during that time that I'm ready to take my test, then I can do so. If I feel like I need a little more tutoring to prep, use the science models, I have free will to go upstairs and do that.
Yeah.
If I want to study individually, I have a space for that. If I want to be in a quiet area because of my attention, then I can do that. Or I can do it in open space. Or I can even do it in groupthink, mm-hmm. in larger group settings.
There's been a lot of news lately about parents wanting to review library books in public schools and maybe take some off the shelves. There was even one incident last week where somebody burned a pile of books.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you have a take on that, or is there some sort of official position of the American Library Association?
So it is my spot. It is our spot,
right.
Because it is about voice. And so each parent is entitled to guide their child, right? Mm-hmm. And we respect that and we value that. Literacy is something that we've decided as a nation should not be withheld, right? Mm-hmm. Ragan Nathan, the father of libraries, one of his five principles is every man his book. Mm-hmm. What does that mean today? Every man free will to explore.
Yeah.
With that, I know when I was a child, and the key word there is was. There was not a limit on how many or what I read.
Right.
It is my hope, and it's not going to be 100% ever, that parents talk and communicate with their child. You guide according to. If I pull a book from a shelf and it's something that I've never heard of, nothing I've never seen, if it has pictures, through that exploration, because it holds a mental piece to it.
Right.
From that, I gain a wider perspective. And a child has the opportunity to connect to a parent or an adult to get better understanding. That book probably is going to be thorough enough. But I have never really seen a child, and this is me speaking for me, act out in totality what they've read.
Right.
You know, we have censorship to some degree in books. I mean, I'm sorry, in movies, video games. We're literally not taking them off the shelf and burning them.
Right.
When we refuse or withhold words, expression, we're going back on understanding each other. At such a high time as mental health, if my child has autism and he's not able to express directly to me through words, if I've got to get a message to him or any other special need, I'm just using this as an example. What are the key elements that I can give him? Or be with him or she to make sure that they connect and they understand and we're in it together. It's literacy.
Yeah.
You know, maturity I've seen come through books with children.
Yeah.
If it's a difficult discussion to have, even myself as a parent, I reach for a book. So right. LeBron James has a book about, you know, being a good leader, and even when you don't want to pay attention in class and all that,
right.
you know, I can read it alongside my child. I can read it to a class of kids. It's a connector.
It's a basis of discussion.
We're disconnecting from each other, especially at a high time when technology, we're also operating in silos, and then we're in a pandemic.
Yeah.
So it's a soothing, maturating, mentoring, nurturing piece of our society. Now, as a parent, again, you have parental Right, to decide for your child, but not by and large for collective.
Right, not for everyone.
Right.
I want to be sure and ask you about the Gazette archives at the DC Library, because we get this question a lot, and I just wanted to take the opportunity to get out the information.
Yes.
Our archives here are limited.
Right.
But you guys have, just describe the collection you have there.
So we have the fabulous, treasured, gentle, delicate, I would like to say complete collection. So every once in a while, I go do an inventory of the Gazette archives. I mean, it goes back to, and I used to know the date by heart, I think it's 1918.
Okay.
And those are very delicate. I mean, we only.
You have physical papers.
So we have a few.
Okay.
But we do have the microfilm. Right. Everybody out there, I know you remember the microfilm.
Yeah.
And those specifically go way back. Mm-hmm. There are select ones of us on staff that handle those because they're so delicate.
Yeah.
We have the machine that holds those that you are able to search, thus connects to the printer, and you can print the newspaper. So it is digitized. Mm-hmm. We do offer that to the public. Now, with the pandemic, you know, we've had to scale back on some of our usual ways and means that we offer that to the public. But there are compartments of it. I used to could tell you how many in microfilm that are there. But again, they're extremely, the ones that are older are extremely delicate. I think we have on microfilm up to 2004 as a year.
Yeah.
And then Newsbank holds the, from 2004 until present, the digitized electronic version that you would use username and password.
Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of people interested in genealogy out there, looking up old crimes, anything like that. So
now you have to know the machine that we had was old and we held on to it for dear life, right?
Yeah.
Again, a connector.
Right.
A connector for the city. When people come in, they want to know. So the newest one that we have, gosh, they're like $10,000 plus.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, it's innovative. It's it's very current and updated. And, I mean, it's probably like a car. As soon as you buy that version of it, another one has come out.
Right.
But it does provide a quicker, crisp, better understanding of how to use it. So it's touchscreen.
Great.
I'm a big touchscreen person. And those same functions are similar to what's on your cell phone.
Right.
Your laptop or whatever.
Okay, so it's not the old thing that I remember. Okay.
No.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
You need to come by.
I remember the old card file days.
Yeah, car catalogs. Now, you know,
card catalogs. Yeah.
Now, you know, in-house, we still have the car catalogs.
Yeah.
Now, we use them for coffee flavors. So we're still, you know, separating out. We're still filing or, you know, indexing, per se. I mean, you may have your cappuccino flavors and your dark roast in different drawers. But so that's one creative way that we use them. And then we use the old card catalog inserts, you know, where you would find the book.
Yeah.
Some of those I've kept because I like the way that they're the typewriter.
Yeah, yeah.
But we use those like post-it notes.
Right.
If the students need to write something down.
Recycle, reuse, right?
Yes, we have tons. So.
Well, thanks so much for spending a little time to talk to us. And congratulations on your new job. We're all so proud of you here.
Now, I have to give a disclaimer.
Okay.
Publications like Texarkana Gazette are just as important. It's still information literacy. Mm-hmm. It's still the way that we connect each other. Whether it's print or digital, it's ours. We can be unique in design as being a force, you know, we're the four states and we say we're twice as nice.
Yeah.
When you need to know, you want to know, Texarkana Gazette, you know, it's a staple. And I'm looking at your logo for this podcast.
Yeah.
It still says Texarkana Gazette.
Right.
You know, Aaron Brand and I, we never sat opposite each other. We sat with each other.
Yeah.
Because there was a connector through words.
Absolutely.
And literacy. Different in design, but the same. And the same with you and a lot of others there. Les Minor is retiring.
Right.
You know, I felt that. And I think that's what's important. is that we value the profession, because the people that work the profession, they value us. Because let's be honest, in some of these positions, the price is not high.
Right.
But without that, we're left out. We don't know what's going on.
Right.
And so I just invite and implore to Texarkana, if you haven't subscribed, subscribe, support, give input, understand what the Gazette needs, desires, and what the Gazette stands for if you have not already.
Oh, thanks so much for saying that. And along the lines of what we were talking about earlier, we're working hard to get more digital mm-hmm. and use more video and do this podcast. And we're moving beyond just text too. So, you know, all those forms of literacy are
our
bread and butter.
And it's the skill. Mm-hmm. You know, I was extremely shy. You could not put a microphone in my face. I would look down at my feet. Yeah. And so it was through a microphone and words mm-hmm. That I was able to find my comfort, motivation, self-esteem.
Yeah.
But the skill to know when to start and stop.
Yeah.
To use the correct grammatical form, which mm-hmm. I struggle with,
right.
honestly, yeah. even as a doc student.
Yeah.
It's a gift. And journalism, I can't say it's got to be a gift, because I didn't wake up with it.
Right. Well, thanks so much for taking a little time.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll see you down the road.
See ya.
On the Line is a Texarkana Gazette podcast recorded in Star Bear Studio, right here in downtown Texarkana, USA. The show was written, produced, and edited by Carl Richter. News stories are based on Gazette staff reports. Texarkana Gazette podcasts are made possible in part by a grant from the Google News Initiative Journalism Emergency Relief Fund. I'll see you next week on The Line.